Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a pleasant Friday afternoon to everybody, and welcome to Fans in the Pro, typically a preview show for the Saints anyway, a preview show for the rest of the weekend in football, but this is going to be a result-driven show, at least where the Saints are concerned, and not a pleasant one, I'm afraid, as they fall to Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos 33-10, a late touchdown for the Saints, gets it from 33-3, and now they've got 10 days off to now 10 days off colon to I get first off get healthy as you can be, but initially the news is going to be not good for Paulson Adebo, and that's just tough.
Yeah, you kind of knew that though last night as well, once you saw or heard what the actual injury was. You know, it was intriguing that the doctors we're doing a stability test on the knee, and basically you want to rule out the ACL, and that's kind of what I saw initially. But when Paulson couldn't kind of get up, you knew it was probably a little bit worse. And then one of the second indicators is the air cast. So when you bring that out, it's nothing good. Because they want to stabilize it as best as possible, but I'll obviously try to limit the pain.
Somebody asked me that. I don't mean to interrupt you, but somebody asked me that today. Is how painful is it? You know, are they giving him anything for the pain right away? and the stabilizer keeps it from moving because that is painful, right?
It's very painful, and no, they're not giving him anything right away.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably didn't get any medicine until he got in the ambulance,
right?
Which is probably 30, 45 minutes later.
Right.
So outside of that, it's the adrenaline and shock. And you're hurt. I mean, even when they come out and they get you in the locker room, you know, it's, hey, I got to get you calm. I got to get, you know, you out the pads. And a lot of times they're cutting.
I was going to say, that can't be fun either.
They're cutting.
Just cut it right off.
Some of those, that uniform, it's not, hey, let's take this pants leg off. And no, they're cutting it. We're cutting it completely off. We'll try to get your shoulder pads off of you, but sometimes they have to cut that as well. And, you know, because a lot of times for players, you literally, it's almost taped on. The jersey is taped on. And so now they can't grab at it.
Yeah.
And I need a little assistance to put it on. I'm probably going to need some assistance to pull it off. But for Paulson, a young man that, look, I know we can talk about all the injury. I mean, the penalties and, you know, the negative part. But he was in a position to be able to – he's a free agent. So, you know, whether there was soft conversations, whether there were – intense conversation, whatever they may be, all of that stops. And I don't want to say completely, but it goes from expecting the payday to I'm on a recovery standpoint now. He will have to change from a mentality standpoint. He will have to use the injury now to kind of fuel himself. My whole goal is to get back. And I don't want to get back to the level I was. I want to get better. That's the mindset that he will have to have. And it's for him, it's probably a one-year prove-it situation. And I say that just because, yeah, any team, whether it's the Saints or any team, will give you a long-term, but it won't be what you want.
Right.
At this point.
Backloaded, long-term backloaded.
Backloaded.
Knowing they're not going to get, you know, probably get to it.
There you go. Yeah. And so as the player that's coming off injury, I want to show that, hey, I am back. So he's got a long process. And, man, you hate that for him because he's and I call him a kid. He's obviously a grown man. He's a really good kid. He's a really good kid. He works hard. You know, he's not one that's going to be, I don't want to say fussy with a coach. He may, you know, he has have questions when something's not working, but he's a player that was doing it the right way. And then for a corner to come up and tackle, I think we talked about it on the show that he was one of the leaders in tackles on your squad. I mean, that normally doesn't happen for a corner, but, man, it's a tough injury. And we saw it live. We thought it was like, hey, you know, maybe he got dinged on the shoulder, hitting the ground. Never would I have guessed that, oh, broken femur.
Yeah.
And then the other part of it, you know, at some point we'll find out what area of the femur, because I think there's a couple different places that you can fracture it, break it, whatever it may be, whatever the correct terminology is. But so far we don't know that yet. I don't know if that changes the rehab process, but I know it's a long one regardless.
No, it's tough. I do know, because I was the same thing. I couldn't see it, and, you know, they showed a replay. I did talk to somebody who was in a different booth where they were able to almost, like, slow it down frame by frame, and you could see it significantly, you know, what had happened. It was just a surprise to me. And you're right, third-round pick out of Stanford, and he was, I won't say a gamble, but he had been hurt, right? So they
– No, he sat out.
He sat out?
No, he sat out for COVID.
That's right. That's
he
right.
sat out. And
when
I mean,
he injured the year before? It had been a long time since
he
played.
He hadn't played, but right. That wasn't – I mean, it was basically for COVID. He right. said, I'm going to get ready to play as far as the NFL. And so didn't play for a long time. And it wasn't all injury. You know, it was really his choice. And he's a guy that also played receiver as well. And so, you know, that tells you kind of the athlete. He was a pretty good athlete. It wasn't like a guy that just we're going to put him at defensive back because he can't catch.
10 career interceptions, third-round pick, and 21 out of Stanford. All right. So, I don't. We could talk a million of these stats, but in the end, it's going to begin with 225 net yards rushing. It was 150 in the first quarter and a half. So it wasn't piled on at the end. It was consistent. Boom, boom, boom.
At
boom,
one
boom.
Point, they had 100. Passing yards and 100 rushing yards.
Right, 102 exactly.
Yeah.
They had 204 exactly.
Yeah, and so right now the New Orleans Saints are getting beat in the trenches, whether you're talking about offense or defense. That's the problem. We can talk about, oh, well, you're missing this player. All of that may be true. But whomever is out there, you are getting beat in the trenches.
So the question, obviously, offensively, we've talked a lot about the offensive line situation at – is when you look at the interior defensive line, Brian Brzee, Shepard, Ridgeway. Now, Colin Sanders was injured. Christian Boyd, I mean, is, you know, you can't not land anything in the middle, but have they kind of maybe not have performed as well as they needed to?
Well, I got to probably lump the defensive ends in there as well.
Okay.
I mean, because teams are getting outside on you. You're losing the edge. And not to say that – and here's where the problem starts to come in. And Coach Allen kind of alluded to it. It's got to be a team effort, defense. Because here's the thing, Mike. I can do my job, and you don't do your job. And now when you don't do your job, it exposes the whole left side. And we're just using the left side as an example. But if I'm the defensive end on this play – and my job is not to hold the edge, or if I do hold the edge, the linebacker has to feel. Okay, maybe the defense is called for the linebacker not to feel. The safety has to feel. Okay, well, the safety feels, but guess what? He feels in the same gap as the linebacker feels. And now you're looking like, what are you doing? The back sees it, he gets to the free gap. Maybe it's the corner that has to feel. He doesn't feel. Last night I saw the Broncos, and I actually called them the Saints. When they ran it, they ran a wham play.
Yeah.
The Saints rarely run wham. But you can see the influence by the left guard, and this is no knock on Boyd, but you see him, he goes for the contact, he kind of stumbles. He stumbles. Well, when you look at that play, you've got a tight end that's coming in motion. He's going to be the wham guy. So he blocks it, the defensive end, which is, you know, probably – I think Boyd was a nose on that play. The three technique, he's reading and reacting, but he can't get inside. One linebacker, Fields, DeMario is watching his guy, which is actually the tight end that's coming across. He hesitates, shoots out. The A-gap is wide open. So you're hoping that either the backside linebacker can feel and scrape and get there. He can't get there. His angle, he's too flat. Now the safety has to come down. But guess what? It's plus 14, plus 16, plus 17, whatever it may be.
It was all that.
And so,
I think every one of those.
Yeah, and so you see that happens, and it almost just becomes, okay, I'm going to give you a lot of eye candy. I'm going to give you a lot of eye candy. The QB8. I mean, the QB8, all the quarterback is doing is he's reading. It's RPO run, and the quarterback has the fullback. I mean, the tight end, that's the wrapper. He comes around. He reads the defensive end. He's flat. Perfect. I'm going to pull it. Defensive end plays it perfect. Now the linebacker tries to scrape, takes a poor angle. There's no support because when he scrapes, he comes in far inside too far. Next thing you know, the safety has to make the tackle. It's 14 yards down the field.
Yeah.
The other one, QB sweep. You are short a man based off of the traffic and the trash because it's trips. Once no one, the edge, whether it was a corner, safety, whomever, once no one can set the edge, it's out the gate. Plus 30, plus 20, whatever it was.
That was 33, I think.
And actually, guess what? The quarterback stumbled. Quarterback stumbled on that play. And you end up bringing him down. But, I mean, it's stuff that you can fix, but guys have to be willing to fix it. And that's just defense. I didn't even start fussing about the offense.
Well, we'll take a break. We also got Aaron on hold. We will – not yet. But you've said it a couple of times, and you said it last night, and you said, watch Mike, watch how – well, the Denver defensive linemen are moving down the line to make the tackles.
On outside plays, for us, we've got to do a better job of finishing. And this is offensively. You've got to do a better job of finishing. Because D linemen should not be able to run down the line of scrimmage. And they're the ones that's making the play on outside zone or toss. Both of them are outside plays. A few times the linebacker is able to get off and make the block. But too many times those defensive linemen are running down the field just side to side.
Right.
Not engaged, engaged for a minute, but he's able to get off the block and he's able to make the tackle for 2 yards, 3 yard gains, if that. For us, when you go and look at it, we're not getting off of those blocks in those same situations. We're not getting off those blocks. And so now where the backside, the play has been strung out a little, and the backside should be getting there to make it, I call it trashy,
right,
the look for the back so it's not as clean. But it's clean. And now guess what? He's on the second and third level.
Right. He's cut back because the defender wasn't there to make it look cloudy and muddy, right?
To muddy it up for him.
Right. Whew. All right, take a break. 10 days until the Chargers. Lots of things to talk about, lots of stuff to work about. We're going to talk also with Roman Harper a little later, the former Saints Super Bowl champ, SEC Network analyst, the Brian Kelly Show as well. Talk some Tulane, talk some Pelicans, and some college football. But we're back after this. Fans of the Pro, Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com, and always free on the Odyssey app.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to thank the great folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our Sports Talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. Salads. I can't say the word salad. That should tell you a lot. MagazinePizza.com. And don't forget, Tiger fans, get ready for the Battle of the Golden Boot. LSU and the Razorbacks tomorrow in Arkansas. Our coverage here on WWL begins at 2 o'clock with Mike Dettillier and Herb Tyler for the Gulf Coast Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, live from Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge, presented by MAP Construction. It's always great with Mike and Herb. Acme has 16 surround sound TVs, great drink specials, plus life's just more fun with seafood. Catch LSU pregame at 4, kickoff with Chris Blair and Jacob Hester at 6 p.m. Tigers against the Razorbacks. 10 hours of exciting LSU football tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock, right here on WWL and the free Odyssey app. So, and it's football weather now. Now it's football weather. It's beautiful out there. I'm looking forward to it. Who's Ole Miss got this week? They off? What do they got?
They need to be off. Off.
Oh, they are. Are off. So we'll see. We'll talk more about LSU. Again, we have Room and Harper coming up at 5:20, but we'll spend most of this first hour just kind of talking about the Saints. Five straight losses. Ironically, the last coach to have five straight losses was Sean Payton, and that was in 2021, and now it's Dennis Allen. And health-wise, we won't know really. You know, Salivary was hurt. I mean, there were a few others.
Yeah, Salivary, basically, he's week to week.
Yeah.
They're not expecting Marshawn to be out long. So I don't know if you would consider that day-to-day or a week-to-week situation. And obviously, we just talked about Paulson. You probably will start to get a few guys back. He talked, you know, the injured guys. So he's giving the players off this weekend. The injured guys, if you're injured, then obviously you have to stay here and rehab. He talked about Derek Carr starting to throw a little bit. And so he will kind of ramp up to see where he is, to see if he can go against the Chargers, and if not, you know, possibly against Carolina. You'll see that. And the other player is probably Taysom Hill, who's been a couple weeks as well. And then, you know, you were limited, then doubtful. So hopefully with the, you know, 10 days or so, he's well and he's able to go. And the other one would probably be Cesar Ruiz. With his knee as well, and he had the knee sleeve on, and so, you know, you're probably trying to prevent some type of swelling in that knee. And then the other would be Lucas Patrick. So you should get Lucas Patrick back. He was available, but probably on emergency basis because you put Kyle Hurgle in.
Right, even when Salivary went out, you didn't put him in.
So. No, you didn't. And so he was probably available on emergency basis. So if you can get those two back, and the other one was Eric McCoy. Eric is not close yet, but I have seen Eric around the facility walking. You know, he was at the game, obviously.
That was Philly, right? Week three?
Yes.
Philly. First series, week three, so 4, 5, 6, 7. So, you know, he's got to be getting closer.
Yeah, he's getting close. Yeah. He's getting close to being able to return, but I don't know if you get him back for the Chargers game.
Right.
And the other one would probably be Will Harris, your safety. And I think he went on IR. He may need another game before he can come off of IR, but he's going to be starting to get close for you as well. And then Chris Olave, you know, his will be depending on, obviously, the concussion protocol. Being able to pass it and come out of it. And so for him, he would obviously be another critical piece that you very much need.
Let's take a couple of calls. People have been waiting and holding. We appreciate that. Aaron in Morgan City. Aaron, welcome to the show. You're on with Deuce McAllister and Mike Haas.
Well, I just want to say, man, I wish Deuce McAllister was still on this team. I remember that time a long time ago this guy had – I think you had like 8 or 9 games in a row with 100-yard rushing. And I just don't see the heart that a Deuce McAllister had when he was toting that rock. Sometimes you didn't have the line, man. But I tell you what, that other defense that was trying to tackle you, they knew Deuce McAllister was there. So many times I see the carriers, except for Taysom Hill, and poor Kamara, he has no help, man. So I would like the Saints to rally around Kamara and say, all right, guys, we're not doing that well. But I tell you what, when they read the stat line, they're going to have that fleur de lis because Alvin Kamara will be having the touches he needs to get 1,000 yards receiving and 1,000 yards rushing, because we're going to put the Saints on the map because of old Deuce McAllister back in the day. Used to run it hard. Get your pants on, Deuce. They need you, man. They need you, man.
Aaron, I love it. I love it. By the way, you're right. It was 9 games. It's a franchise record. 9-game streak with 100-plus rushing yards.
Aaron, I love you, my friend, but we can't live there anymore. here's what I do say. The game is different, and I don't question the player's heart. You know, we can say that, oh, he's not emotional enough, but some guys, that's not who they are. Some guys wear their emotion on their sleeves, and some are, hey, watch my work. But here's the thing that I will say. There's a saying in football, the eye in the sky does not lie. So my only question to those guys, are you pleased with what you're putting on film? And that's not for me to answer. That's a personal question. That's an individual question that you have to answer. Because at the end of the day, whether it's Kubiak, whether it's Coach Allen, whomever, whether it's Coach Darren Rizzi, guess what they're going to do? They're going to turn on the film. And if the film, if you can't answer for the film, for how you're performing, then it's hard to argue with anything else. Now, we can talk about, oh, well, it didn't work because of this, or, you know, this guy missed this, or this guy. Look at your individual self. And you, it's grading it for yourself. Any player will tell you, and if he won't tell you, his coach will tell you, you are trying to play the perfect game. Guess what? It is impossible. But if you aren't chasing the perfect game, you are cheating yourself. Perfect game from everything from steps, distance, alignment, assignment, effort. Did I make the tackle? Did I hit the hole? Timing. Perfect. Grade it yourself.
You see the film. You don't need to have the coaches tell you.
Grade it yourself.
You get the all 22.
They get better than all 22. I mean, but grade it yourself.
Yeah.
And so just from that aspect, and that's really just holding yourself accountable. That's just really holding yourself accountable. And so for me, I can give you my opinion. And sometimes we know this, Mike. I can tell you exactly how that play was supposed to go. I hadn't been in the meeting rooms to understand the name, the call, but I can see steps. I can see steps. I can see design. And I may miss the name. Oh, you know, that used to be Spider. Well, guess what? I can tell gap protection. That's still the same. Well, how do you know? Look at the steps of the offensive lineman. Tell me what the back did. How many steps did the quarterback take? It's quick game. Was he 3? Was he 5? Was he 7? I mean, that's football. Defensively, where's the nose? Is it a 7? A wide 9? Where's he at? Where's the linebacker? Where's the safety filling? Is it quarters? 2-man? I mean, that's knowing football. So I can start to put the puzzle together fairly quick. But the one thing that the player has to be accountable for is his effort. And if he's not accountable for that, what are we doing?
We are going to take a quick break. Fans in the Pro talking about the Saints. We'll also talk SEC football, Roman Harper in the 5 o'clock hour. But be back after this. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. You're getting some good stuff today from the man. Back after this. WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, fans in the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, the Brian Kelly Show coming up at 6 o'clock. And what a great night for the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup at 7. High school football taking center stage, working our way into this cool weather that will continue. We're going to wrap up this hour kind of talking about the Saints, and you said this last night, and it's, you know, so, and again, this is Spencer Rattler and not Derek Carr. You know, Derek had said at the beginning of the season that when you, if you're running this offense, this wide zone offense correctly, the first five steps or four or five steps the quarterback takes, you should not know whether it's a run or a pass. And last night, you must have said five times that we're not a drop back passing team. And that's all they have been, right? Because you're not really running the offense that you kind of want to run.
Well, you know why? Because you're behind.
Yeah, you got
to throw it. You're having to throw the football.
Right.
And so part of the issue is your tackles are still a work in progress. They're still a work in progress. And so if I can run the football, it takes pressure off of them having to drop back pass. But when we – and we both have it. How many passes last night combined?
For the Saints or
– Yeah, for the Saints.
The Saints had 28 passes. Or 20 completions, 39 passes.
Yeah, 39 passes.
Right.
39 passes.
I think they had 40 the week before.
Yeah. So of those 39 passes, and we would have to go and look at it, I can tell you probably 10 of them were rollout, and the other 29 were pure drop back passes. For the Saints to be where they want to be, they probably want that number to be about 17 drop back passes. And everything else is off of action, play action.
Right.
The boots, your quarterbacks right now, the young kids, they do a great job of running the bootleg. They do a great job of the bootleg game. But when it comes to straight drop back passes, then now I've got to identify pressure. And I've seen the comments, or you hear the comments of, oh, your offensive line is terrible. No, it's not just your offensive line. Yes, there were pressures where you got beat inside by from a guard standpoint, I think right guard, left guard, and then your left tackle. But for the most part, it was a free rusher that came. And so you've got to understand that he's hot. He is unblocked. That's not on the offensive line. I have got to throw the ball hot. And if he's supposed to be picked up, then it's an MA on somebody, whether it's the back or whomever. But just me looking at it with the naked eye in the moment, I see the back get out right now. So normally that tells me he didn't even look at his guy. So that should tell me he's hot. The guy off the edge comes. It's not the offensive line. That's the QB's guy. And he just didn't feel it. He didn't feel it. He didn't see it. And so now that's what I'm saying I saw happen last night. Now, I could be totally wrong where, no, the back should have went backside. But the way that he released tells me, because his head never turned.
Right.
How he released immediately, that's how you would release when you're hot. And you may have did it because he came from depth. But at least I would check. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would check to look to see if it's coming from there. So when it happens in that manner, I'm getting pressure. Everything has to speed up. Everything has to speed up. So if I'm not throwing the hot throw, I have to speed up my drop. I have to fade a little bit to buy a little time. That's only because I got pressure. I can't fade a little bit and buy a little time every time, because – they may show pressure, and they did it a couple times on third down. They showed double A.
And then backed out?
And backed out, and only brought four. There were times where they showed it, and they only brought three. That was normally third and long. And so it takes reps.
Yeah.
It takes reps. And so whether
you got a game speeding up for a game, it's already fast for a young man.
That's what it is. And then when you take away the ability to run the football, now it's almost like, man – are you sure it's 11 guys out there? You know, it feels like it's
– somebody count.
Yeah, it feels like it's 13 guys.
It does. It really does.
It feels like it's 13 guys out there. I mean, because a guy's coming from here, a guy's coming from here. I don't know if this guy's picked up. I don't trust if this guy's going to pick him up. And it just takes time.
Newman's been holding, and we'll get to Newman quickly, and then we'll take a break. So, Newman, welcome to the show. You're on with Deuce and myself, and you want to talk a little bit about the trenches.
Thank you guys for taking my call.
You bet. Hello. We appreciate it. Thank you for calling in, sir. Yes, we can hear you fine.
Okay, on the first TD run from number 33, I noticed how the offensive linemen were grabbing the defensive linemen up around the shoulder pads and had nothing but jersey, and they were treating them like rag dolls. Is that a penalty or what? Where can they not ground, or they can't hook them with their arms or whatever? But these guys, they couldn't do anything. They just had them, it seemed like they had them off the ground, like they were just shaking them like rag dolls.
Yeah, you can grab them by the jersey. I mean, you can't hook them on the outside where they can't get loose. I mean, but you can grab them by the jersey and even, you know, to be able to turn your body. But once they try to disengage, you have to let them go. And even on that touchdown run, if I'm thinking about the first one that you're referring to, on that one, it looked like you had a game going on. And what I mean, it looked like your defensive tackle went outside. And I don't know if it was supposed to be a loop, the defensive end that was going to come back inside, or your linebacker both went outside. So something, and so whatever miscommunication happened, it happened immediately because the guard, he took him easy. And what I mean took him was he allowed him to go outside because he knew that was where the back wanted to go. But if somebody vacates his area, somebody else has to feel. And we know it didn't feel because the gap was wide open.
It was an 8-yard touchdown by Javonte Williams and really a very crucial moment. It was only 6-0 at that time, 7 minutes to play in the second quarter. So the Saints had kind of weathered the storm until that, and then the storm rolled over. We'll take a break. Come back. Fans in the Pro, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, Charlie Long's in the booth. We're back after this. WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, taking you up until the news at 5 o'clock, and we'll be with you until 6 o'clock. And do not forget, it's the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Ian Ozan, Alan Waldell, Coach Lou Valden, Lutcher, the Bulldogs, and E.D. White Cardinals. That's just one of the games tonight, and it's a beautiful weather for football. We'll be back in the second hour. We're going to talk to Roman Harper. Harp, as Deuce calls him. It's usually when I take a break and they start talking code because I don't know what they're talking about. But we're looking forward to talking to Roman at 5:20. But first, the news is next. You're listening to Fans in the Pro. Well, welcome back, everybody, for the second hour of Fans in the Pro. At 5:20, we're going to talk to Roman Harper, part of that Saints Super Bowl team, now part of the SEC Network analyst. And we'll talk some more LSU and SEC in that time frame. So I wanted to get a few things out of the way because we did not talk about Tulane plays tomorrow against Rice. For the record, I am well aware that I had this wrong, that they were open last week and that they play Rice tomorrow. My bad. Three of their last five are on the road. So it's Rice at North Texas, at Charlotte, Temple, at Navy, Memphis. But their last three games, offensively, 41, 45, and 71 points. So they're putting it together after that Oklahoma loss.
Yeah, and I think they get another one of their weapons back, a receiver that they get to add to that weapons of points that they've been able to put up. And so transfer receiver, and my mind is going blank. Oh, Preston.
Chaz Preston?
Yeah, Preston, they get
Thank
him
you,
back. And so,
I don't want to take like people go, well, no, Mike got that. Mike no. did not get that.
Yeah, no, I do know that they get him back. I think he's been dealing with some hamstring issues. So the Green Wave gets to put on a show. And then you've got, like you talked about, LSU and Arkansas. And then SU has their homecoming. I don't know who Southern playing, but the Southern Jaguars got their homecoming tomorrow.
Why?
And it's going to be a ton of people in Baton Rouge.
Oh, it's homecoming in LSU. Well, LSU's on the road, though. So
LSU is on the road, but right. Trust me, a ton of people going to Baton Rouge tomorrow for SU's homecoming.
Well, now I got to find out.
You're going to look it up and tell me.
Out.
Yeah, you got to tell me because I don't know who they're playing, but I do know their homecoming is tomorrow. Because we're getting close to the time. I mean, this is, what, mid-October?
Yeah.
We're getting close to Bayou Classic time. I mean, it's still a month plus away, but you talked about the weather changing and the city being a buzz. And the other thing that we hadn't talked about, the Pelicans. The Pelicans.
Alcorn State.
They play Alcorn.
Yep.
They play Alcorn.
6 o'clock okay. tomorrow.
Yeah, so all right. Well, the Mighty Braves, they put you as the homecoming. That's always a slap in the face for any team.
Yeah.
That's another subject, though.
Even, I know where you're going.
That's another subject, though. A little other action up in Baton Rouge where you were the homecoming opponent. But the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Tip off Wednesday.
Yep.
Against Chicago.
Yep, 23rd.
We're excited about that. I think that they moved in, maybe not fully, into their practice facility. There's still some work that has to be done there. But the other part that we don't know, we will finally get to see. And look, no starting lineup is written in stone. We will get to see a starting lineup come Wednesday night for the Pelicans.
How about that stretch? Wednesday night at the Smoothie King Center, the Pelicans open their NBA season, mm-hmm. and then we'll give you Thursday to just regroup, and then you go Taylor Swift for three straight nights. That is like three Super Bowls.
Well, for the staff of the Superdome,
yes,
and the Smoothie King Center,
yes,
my thoughts and prayers are with you, because you will not be getting a lot of sleep starting really Wednesday. And for about, 5 days?
Yep.
I mean, because I know there's a show that Sunday night.
Right.
But, I mean,
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's like three Super Bowls, because you bring them in and you bring them out. You might have some overlap of people, but you don't have a lot of overlap of people, because those tickets are, are up there. And so we will miss it. I'll be a part of the week build-up. We talked about it today as part of the City Hall press conference, just kind of getting ready before that. So, yeah, man, the Pelicans on the 23rd, that's a tough kind of a stretch, because if you look at the schedule and you just get the colored schedule like I do, red is good because that's home, and so they open at Chicago, and then they go right to the West Coast for four games, two at Portland, two at Golden State. So,
I got a question. On both of those, is it a back-to-back?
Yeah.
You stay in the same city? Do you stay in the same city when you play Portland?
Yeah. They're back-to-backs, not back-to-back nights. The back-to-back nights for Golden State, the 25th and the 27th, but you do stay in Portland. It's at Portland, at Portland, at Golden State, at Golden State.
But only one.
One of them is a back-to-back.
Only one is back-to-back.
True back-to-back.
Yeah, you have a day in between on the other one.
Yeah, on Portland.
So on that road trip, you want to be able to go, can you go 3-1? Can you go 3-1? That'll be the question. At worst, 500. You want to split and you go just 2-2.
I wouldn't say it's relatively new, but it's kind of new. I actually kind of like it. I like if you're going to.
If I'm going to be stuck out here, let me play two games.
Right.
If I'm going to be stuck out here, I mean, it's not that Portland's a beautiful city, and Golden State, San Francisco. I know they don't play in San Francisco anymore, but that's a beautiful, beautiful city, beautiful area. But if I got to come over here. 4 hours, I know, from New Orleans. They go to Portland first. Do they play at Portland first?
Yes, at Portland.
That is
six. Four, hours?
I don't think it's six, because you're flying private. It's every bit of five.
Yeah,
it's every bit. I think it's like five and a half. So I'd rather get that out the way, and they probably have another Portland trip. So if we're gonna be out there, let's at least play two games.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. It kind of makes sense. I do kind of like it. So take a break. Looking forward to talking to our next guest. Roman Harper will be on the backside, part of that Saints 2009 Super Bowl team. Also the SEC Network analyst. And wow, what a huge weekend for college football. We'll talk about that as well. Fans in the Pro rolls on. Deuce McAllister, Mike Koss right here on WWLAMFM.com and always free of the Odyssey app.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, fans in the pro. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, and he joins us almost every football season, and we always look forward to it. Roman Harper, part of the Saints championship team, was in, of course, Caesars Superdome last night for the game. And how you doing, Roman?
I'm doing good, man. How are you guys, man? What's up with you guys?
We're good. I'll do my usual. I'll get a couple of things, you know, out of the way,
I'll let you do
your code and you know, and talk. But man, that was tough last night. There were a lot of good things. Drew, of course, and just having you guys back together is, to me, the coolest thing ever. But you can't look at that defense and that tackling and 225 yards plus in back-to-back weeks and have a real warm, fuzzy feeling.
No, the game was terrible. I mean, dude, I just started drinking. I didn't even pay attention to it. I was not going to let them bring down
Deuce
my
Deuce and I do not have that option.
Yeah, you guys are really working. I was just like, dude, I'm not going to let that slow me down. It was too good, too many warm feelings. From the Hall of Fame luncheon to, you know, Sean popping in there and talking his trash. Like, it was awesome. And I had my family there, so I wanted to make sure I was in the right mindset. But look, man, they got to find a way to win a game. They got to stop the bleeding. And the thing about it is that I know you're injured, but in the NFL, nobody cares. And so at some point, you got to have that type of attitude. Somebody has to step up and make a play for this team. Somebody has to step up and say, hey, we're not going to allow this to continue to go. We got to go win a game. And so I don't know how they do that. I don't know which quarterback it's going to be under, or who's going to be making that play on defense. But somebody has to do it. Because right now this team doesn't seem like they have a lot of confidence. They don't seem like they have a lot of hope. And with that comes a lot of losing. And so I see it all the time on Saturdays when I'm watching all this college football, where good teams find ways to win games and bad teams find ways to lose them. And so which one are you deciding to be? You guys make up your mind about that and go from there. But right now the Saints aren't looking good. And I think the worst thing about it, honestly, is that it's because the way they started the first two games that got everybody's mind and expectations a certain way, and then the letdown. Like, if it was just kind of scattered out, I don't know if the same feeling would be the same. But you start out so good, and now it's been this since those first two games.
Hart.
What up?
If the standard is the standard, how do you get back to the standard?
Dude, I think
don't give me a sigh. I mean, because I am so frustrated with what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And you can talk about injuries or you can talk about nobody cares. The standard is the standard. And you weren't a part of it earlier where we talked about, I'm not in a position to call you out because I'm not out there. But at some point, you got to look at what you're doing.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
You see what I'm saying?
No doubt. If you ain't lying, you're not lying. You are not lying.
I mean, and so.
And take pride in your work and take pride in what you're doing.
Say it again, Hawk.
And you got to take pride in who you are. Like, look, man, like at some point. Like, and I know I hate being the when I was playing guy, right? I hate that. But when I was playing, dude, at some point, I'm like, dude, I'm going to bust a mother sucker in the face. Like I don't care. Like, I'm not just going to roll over and get beat. I'm going to get a flag or something. Like, something got to go. But you can't just allow the losses to continue to mount. Nobody does anything. We're not going to take it. And like you're saying, Deuce, the standard, if the standard is the standard, why is it changing? And so that part has to be done. And, man, they got to find a way to do it. And, Deuce, I don't have the answers because me and you are not lined up. We don't have a jersey. So there's nothing I can do or say that's going to change or motivate inside that locker room. It's got to be those guys inside of it that determine that, hey, we are not going to take this anymore. Somebody's got to stand up and go out there and make that play.
Yeah, and so for us, you know, it makes me mad when I see it, and then it makes me mad when I read it, you know, just because you get people that are yapping, and they really don't have a clue. But everybody's got a right to say and print and do what they choose. but at least know what you're talking about. And half the time, that's not the case.
No, a lot of people just want to be first. Sorry, go ahead, Deuce.
No, but my problem is, if you're getting the opportunity to play that game, and you know, if you're getting the opportunity to play that game, what you put on film speaks for itself.
Yes, it does.
And I don't have a question for you, so I mean, I'm really mad right now.
No, I can tell. So, look, everything you're saying.
I'd rather
is
him
real,
take it out on you than me. So let's just keep this going.
So it's fine. No, I get it, man. And the thing is, it's so frustrating when you, especially when like this defense has potential to be better. And I'm not. And potential is the worst word or compliment in sports because that means you ain't did it. All right. And their opinion of you is higher than wherever it is right now where you're standing. And so that matters. But, you know, to see the tackling where it was versus Tampa Bay when all of a sudden they made their plays and their runs last week, that was terrible. And all of a sudden you see a team like Denver stroll in here, and Denver hasn't been an offensive juggernaut. They haven't done a lot of great things this year. And all of a sudden you allow them to get on a roll at your home field. Like, those things matter. The dome was ready to rock last night. The players didn't show up. And so when that's starting to happen, that is disappointing. And like Deuce said, somebody has to step up and say, this ain't it. We got to get it going. And so, and it's easy to sit up here and point fingers at the coach and point fingers at this and that. That's easy to do in the newspapers. But inside that locker room, the players got to stand up and make plays because it ain't all on coaching. It's not, you know. And I hope, and I know DA, and I know Mickey, I know everybody over in that building, just like Deuce does, just like everybody else does. The best thing about New Orleans and the Saints organization, that it is a family-run organization. Like, everybody knows everybody in that community, and everybody roots for everybody over there. And so when they lose, it hurts us all, and when they win, we all celebrate together. And right now, we want to celebrate together way more than we want to talk about this continued losing, and it's bringing down everybody else around, and we're tired of it. And as a fan, you should be mad. You should be ticked off. And the players need to step up and respond the proper way.
Yeah, and Hop, this is really, you know, we know it's a result-driven business. You've lost five.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's lost upon anybody. I think they understand and realize, you know, when you've looked at home games, you've had too many other fans at the dome. I cannot fault a fan for selling tickets. I cannot fault, because if the product that you're supposedly cheering for isn't exciting, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. But at the same time, it's my job as a player to go out and perform, and you're just not getting it consistently.
No, you're not getting it at all consistently. Look, you know, last week they were down 24-0. Then they come and score 27 straight. So I'm like, oh, man, they can do it. Then they go off and let them score another, what was that? They end up with 50 or so.
Yeah, 27. Whatever that math is.
Yeah, 27.
Yeah, right. That math, whatever that math is. I'm sorry I went to Alabama, guys. Deuce is he right there with me because he went to Ole Miss. So I know they ain't learned. They ain't counting either. So only thing they count is checks, baby. Checks, baby. Anyways, but that whole deal. And so you see these flashes in this team, and it's like, why can't we get this all the time? Why can't we be mentally tough enough to say, hey, like, we're going to not do the mental errors. We're actually going to tackle. We're going to try and get guys down. And like Deuce and I have said already, nobody cares that the injuries happen. Injuries are part of the game. And if you think anybody feels bad for you for having an injury, you're lying to yourself. And so what are you going to do about it? And it's really just supposed to be next man up, or that it's an opportunity for another person. It'd be interesting to see if they continue to roll out Spencer Rattler as well, or do they give Heiner a chance? Because right now this team's desperate. And this is no knock on Spencer Rattler as much as it's just like, dude, the dude's a rookie, and Heiner may give you a spark. Because you just need anything at this point. Nothing's really truly working. They'll come off a short little bye week, and you know, the mini bye, because it's a Thursday night game. And so you try and get your mind back. And, dude, they just need to go win a game. Just go win a game and then see where we're at.
So let me ask a quick question. Because I got a couple of callers that are asking this, and I'm going to ask this in a way that I hope is appropriate. This is all about Dennis Allen, and you know, there you either like Dennis Allen or you don't. There ain't nobody in the middle. It's kind of like Derek Carr, and so
that's true.
And so it's kind of hypothetical right now, and I believe like you do that this is in the locker room, and you know, coaches, it's all part of this team, but things do not get turned around. And so my question isn't should they fire, will they fire? Forget about that. What are the signs that of any team when they've started to quit on their coach? And I'm not saying that has happened here or will happen here, but just what do you see when you feel like a team has quit on their coach?
I feel like you have no. It feels like you have no connection to the team. But the thing that's really hard, though, is like players should still play hard. Like, that's the thing that Deuce is talking about. Like, players, dude, everybody's watching. Everything you do is on tape. That's part of your resume that goes on, and everybody else watches it, too. And so when you don't play hard, you don't play to a certain standard, like, that's out there. And right now, I don't know if they're not playing hard for Dennis or – I just don't know how much they're playing for each other, which is scarier. And so that's the thing that you got to get. If I'm DA, I'm like, bro, remove me out of this. Like, what are we doing for each other? Like, how do we get to where we're playing for each other and doing it the way we were? Not only that, but how can we have fun again? Because this first 2 weeks looked like they were having fun. And it don't look like they're having fun right now. So when we celebrate, let's celebrate. When we do this, let's do this. And just, like, those are the things about it that I always look for. But as far as, like, losing a team, it's usually, like, penalties, dumb mistakes, you know, all these other little things. And right now, you know, after about the second quarter, man, I just started drinking, and I don't really remember anything really about the second half. So,
well, you did not. Like, you didn't miss anything.
Harp, yeah, thank you. I didn't think I did.
Harp, I got one. I got my last question for you, Harp. So here's a potential situation. As me and you both know, particularly for myself, if you are continuing down the road that you are now, and there is change, what happens to 70% of your players?
Oh, they all gone. They got to go bring in their own people and their own players and this, that, and that. Everybody's gone. Like, that's the thing about it, man. It is a performance-based business.
And so, everybody's gone. Before you even say it, I don't think enough guys understand that. So you can say I'm mad at the coach or I don't like the coach, but you do realize if he's not here, there's a high percentage you won't be either.
I think it's higher than 70, Deuce.
I tried to be nice.
It's like 80, 85.
I tried to be nice.
Yeah, dude, I think it's 80, 85% gone. Gone. Finito. I mean, I saw it just in a year and a half. From when Greg Williams left, and we went to Spags to Ryan, Rob Ryan. It's like 85% done in like a year and a half, 2 years. Done, gone. Like, that's what happens. And so when it's a performance-based business. And yes, they're not performing at the same level, but like you're saying, Deuce, and you should keep on talking about it, Deuce, on this radio. It's like, dude, we can be mad at any coach, but I ain't seen a coach take a snap yet. And I ain't seen a great coach without great players or players stepping up and making plays. This is a player-driven league, period. We all know it. And so the players are who I'm looking at like, bro, come on, guys. Come on. Like, this is who we're looking at and saying, you guys have got to step it up and go out there and win a game, not only for yourselves but for the city, for your coach. Like, who are we fighting for? And, like, that's the question that you should ask all of them, Deuce, is who are they fighting for? Well, what are they doing it for?
I tell you one thing. I would still be in the situation and say, hey, look, I like getting paid. And right now I got a pretty good situation, so I'm going to do what I need to do to make sure that I'm still getting paid, not only for this year but for next year too.
It's crazy how much people do not think about those things. They think like, oh, man, you know, I just get another situation. I'm like, bro, they ain't giving out these jobs to everybody. I'm sorry. They just not giving them out like that. So, and you know how it is. It's even harder when you go to another team when maybe they don't even value the same as the one that you're with. And so that matters too. So they're going to give that playing time and those reps to somebody else that they may want already in that spot. People don't understand, man. It's a blessing and a curse. And when you're outside of it, we totally remember how much of a blessing it was. And you don't appreciate as much when you're in it. That's just life.
Well, let me say this. You two understand it. You two feel this exact same way because you both talked about it in the exact same way, Deuce before you. Texas, Georgia, man. This is what it's all about, right? SEC weekend, Texas, Georgia. Huh? That's got to be awesome.
Man, it's going to be awesome. This is the one game that everybody circled at the beginning of the year as soon as it came out. And Texas has been that team. But Texas is nervously optimistic because University of Texas has always dropped a game somewhere in the season when they're not supposed to. Lucky it's a 12-team playoffs. I don't know if this is the Georgia team to do it, but Georgia has always beaten everybody not named Alabama. So we're used to that point, too. So something's got to break here. I'm interested in watching, can Georgia's defensive secondary keep up with the speed of Texas guys on the outside? And can Mike Bobo call the game correctly for Georgia to get them on a hot start to actually play fast early and be able to finish for four quarters? Because this is a place Georgia's never in, which is the underdog. So Kirby gets to play the reverse rat poison and all that other stuff that Nick Saban used to do. And it's an unfamiliar place, but it's a place that you love to be. Everybody loves playing the underdog card. It's teams that aren't even the underdog. I'm like, man, we're not respected. I'm like, dude, you're number one overall in the country. What are you talking about? Oh, they don't respect us. I'm like, dude, everybody wants to be underdog because that's the easy angle at it. But this is a game that you're not going to have to get Georgia fired up for. They're going to show up. And Georgia has DNA, championship DNA that you can't put on paper, that you can't put on sports betting, that is not going to go into what the plus and minus is of this game. But they have the ability to rise at any level and go get it. And they've shown that at times this year. They just haven't played complete games. They got to get that squared away. And Texas, man, has been on fire. They've been really, really good, and they're a lot better defensively than what people give them credit for because they always want to talk about the offense and Sarkisian. But defensively, they're really fast and athletic. They got some really good guys. They got some pros on three different levels. And it's going to be a barn burner. I'm really excited.
Well, I'm done, my friend Deuce.
Harp, go join. Go enjoy the family, man.
Yeah,
thanks, man. Appreciate it, man. And Deuce, man, hey, I had Ole Miss getting in the playoffs, dog.
Did I bring that up? I didn't say anything about Alabama. I didn't say anything about Ole Miss. I was trying to let you. I was trying to be nice. I was trying to, you know, not be mad and angry. But I'm mad and angry now. Go do something with the family.
Hey, my guy, I love y'all, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Roman. Man, I love – it's just a blast to have Roman on and talking SEC and talking Saints, and he was there last night. Take a break, about 20 minutes left in tonight's show, and then it'll be the Brian Kelly Show to get you ready for LSU and Arkansas, then the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. We're back after this on Fans in the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. My host, Deuce McAllister. Want to get to a phone call, then we're going to take a break as we work our way towards 6 o'clock in the Brian Kelly Show. Big John, welcome to the show. I know you want to talk about Sean Payton. I saw Sean last night on his way out. I was actually downstairs. I wanted to try to say hello to Zach, but Zach had already left, but I did get a chance to say hello to Coach Payton. So what's your question there, Big John? You're on with Deuce and Hoss.
All right, Mike. Deuce, this is a question for y'all. And I have completely lost all confidence in the Saints organization, and I'll tell you why. Sean Payton takes every guy that we've managed to cut on this football team or put on practice squad. He's got 11 or 15 of our players over there. He takes our coaches. He goes into the Superdome, beats us by 30 points with a bunch of backups that are on his squad. That's it. B, we got Dennis Allen calling timeouts with 11 seconds left and a half to take a knee. I mean, this guy is so lost, and this organization is so pathetic. It's time to get whatever draft picks we can, cut Dennis Allen, get rid of these high-priced older people that can't play anymore, and move on. I mean, it's just time. And I wonder what you and Deuce think.
Well, I'll let Deuce answer mostly, but I will say Clint Kubiak, called the timeout before half. So that wasn't Dennis. And I will say that of all, there were a ton of Saints players out there last night, but I don't know that Malcolm Roach and Jordan Jackson and Adam Trautman and any of those guys beat the Saints. Saints beat the Saints.
Deuce, so my question is for Deuce. I want to know what Deuce thinks about Dennis Allen and this organization.
Which part, as far as the organization or Dennis Allen as far as the coach? Which part? I mean,
overall, Deuce. Overall, I know you're down there. I personally think that the whole team doesn't want to play for him. On defense, these guys aren't even trying to tackle anymore. I mean, these guys are in the second level with the holes that are 5 yards wide open going through the middle of the field in this defense that's supposed to be so great. We've given up a last-minute field goal to Atlanta to come down the field. We've given up a touchdown to Philadelphia to get beat. And then we've gotten blown out in the last two. I mean, it's disgusting what's going on in New Orleans right now.
No, I agree with you when you talk about you have every right to be disgusted because you've given up 500 yards of rushing, basically, or at least I think total yards, whatever the number is. It hadn't been pretty. For me, from a defensive standpoint, you should be playing elite. And right now you're playing probably below average. It's not totally bad because you're still holding teams to field goals, but you're having too many mistakes at critical points of games, particularly the Atlanta game, particularly the Philadelphia game. Those were critical mistakes that ended up costing you. The last two games, you have been poor in different areas. And so from a tackling standpoint, a little better last night, but probably could still be better. You've got guys in position, but they aren't making a play. So I can't say that you quit on a coach. Now, you can question D.A. as far as, he shouldn't have called timeout or he should have went for it. But I think he's putting guys in place to be able to make a play. But at some point, the player has to make a play. At some point, the player has to go out there and say, this is my play to make, and I've got to make it. I can't expect the coach to go up there and, okay, here you go, you can make the tackle now. That's not his job. His job is to allow you to go out there and play fast and make a play. That's no different than offensively as well.
Got to take a break. Thanks for the question there, Big John. We're back after this on Fans in the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com, and always live and free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Thanks to everybody, and thanks to the good folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our sports talk team on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. Weekend, I can't say with no football because you probably got football.
I do, and not as much football, though.
Right. Tonight or no tonight?
Tonight. Yeah, tonight. So I will be at a football field in a few hours. Was watching, and you probably – I was glancing there right at the end. My son, they were playing the number 16. Holmes and ICC, and so they end up losing on the long field goal. I got to see probably the last 2 minutes or so of that game, and they ended up losing, I think it was 30-27 or 24-27, whatever it was.
So you're saying the 33-3 game that we were doing didn't quite have it for you?
No, it always has it for you, but I mean, I forgot that. I was like, oh man, let me see what the score is, and you caught the last 2 minutes or so of that game. And for the Saints team, take a little time. Love on your loved ones. Refresh. Try to win a game.
Look in the mirror.
Definitely look in the mirror. But you got to go try to figure out a way to win a game. You definitely it's self-evaluation. And, you'll find out over the next 10, 11 weeks how much you want it.
They got some time off before the L.A. Chargers in Los Angeles. Back to SoFi. Thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. As always, Deuce McAllister, Roman Harper for joining the show. The Brian Kelly Show is next. Thanks for listening, everyone. WWLAMFM.com, always free in the Odyssey app.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.